Good morning. If you are just tuning in, I would just remind you to go ahead and take a moment and fill out that attendance log so that we know that you are worshiping with us this morning. Today we begin a new sermon series. You'll see the graphic on your screen, Free to Feel, Embodying the Emotions of Jesus. And I just want to warn you that later in the sermon time, we're going to have a PG-13 kind of moment. So I'm just telling you that now if you have kids watching with you at home. But in this season of COVID, I don't know about you, but my emotions have kind of been all over the place. I've experienced anger, particularly when we were in quarantine, just me and Aaron and the girls, right? We had nowhere to go. We couldn't see anyone else. And there was a lot of feelings that festered up. I've also experienced grief this season, particularly as we lost Aaron's grandmother, not to COVID, but COVID impacted those final moments with her. We weren't able to go visit her in the hospital. The family had to stand outside of a window and say goodbye. We've also experienced fear, right? We don't know, or at least early in the pandemic, we didn't know what this virus was. We didn't know how it was going to impact our lives. And for us, we experienced a lot of fear and anxiety knowing that Emerson, our 4-year-old, had lots of respiratory issues. She'd been hospitalized 3 different times, once when she was 5 months old, once when she was 2, and once just a year ago. And so we didn't know how this new virus would impact her and her lungs. And so we had a lot of fear. We also experienced joy this season, right? We got to meet and try and do new things. We got to experience more time together with our family. And we also saw the love of Jesus Christ radiating out into the world. Oftentimes in society, I feel like our feelings are dismissed. And even in the life of the church, I see that is true. I've heard and read sermons that are extremely dismissive of those negative emotions, right? Like anger and fear and grief. I read a sermon this past week that said, "Don't pursue your feelings, pursue Christ." And I agree, in all things, we should be pursuing God. And not leaning on our own understanding, right? But leaning on God's understanding. But we shouldn't dismiss our feelings altogether. We don't tell a grieving widow, or maybe we do, that don't be sad, your husband's in heaven. Because there's room and space to grieve too. Oftentimes we say, Don't be scared, right? Don't fear. The Bible tells us not to be afraid. God's with you. I don't know about you, but if I was in a situation where I was being attacked or my family was being attacked, I'd probably have some fear and anxiety and worry in that, right? And sometimes those things are a good thing. Our instincts tell us when to freeze or flee or fight, right? But our emotions, sometimes they can be bad, and sometimes they can be good. I believe that rather than dismissing them or suppressing them, God calls us to lean in to how we are feeling and discern what the Holy Spirit is calling us to do in those situations. To not be overwhelmed and consumed by anger or grief or fear, but rather seek God in those moments and ask God what we are supposed to do in those given situations. One of the most common emotions that we feel, the emotion that we're going to focus on this week, is anger. What makes you angry? What gets your blood boiling? Now, there's all sorts of variants of anger, right? It can come in many forms. Maybe it's you're annoyed, or you're frustrated, or maybe you're even filled with rage. Sometimes for me, it comes in the form of annoyance with my kids, right? Trying to get dinner on the table, trying to get the kitchen cleaned up, and Emerson runs in and is asking me a million questions and is trying to help, and the next thing I know, she's spilt water or milk all over the floor. And my response is to get angry, right? To yell, to be mad. Maybe it's stress from your job. Maybe you're so overwhelmed with all of the things you have to get done or the people you have to care for, and it causes you to be angry. Maybe you get angry when you deem others as being stupid or see others that don't necessarily line up with how you feel or what you believe, right? It's easy to become angry or annoyed in those situations. Or maybe it's when something isn't working like it's supposed to. Maybe your computer breaks down or your cell phone won't turn on or your car won't start in the morning and you're running late. All of these things spark anger inside of us. And there are lots of things that set these off, right? Stress or lack of sleep. The inability to see Christ in our neighbor. Maybe it's our own internal bias that brings anger up. But maybe, in some situations, it's the presence of the Spirit. Maybe God is enraging us. Maybe not when our cell phone breaks, right? But maybe it's God's way of talking to us so that we can respond as Christians to share God's grace and love in the world. Robert Law, he says this. He says, like all emotions, anger is neither good nor bad. It's neutral. Walter Hansen says, anger is like fire. When it burns, it can be destructive. It can harm and destroy life. But the anger of Jesus kindles a flame within us that warms and restores life. We get lots of examples of anger in the Bible, both good and bad. In Luke, we hear of Jesus coming and preaching this prophetic message to the people. And we hear that his neighbors and his relatives and those around get so angry that they want to throw him off a cliff, right? I don't know that that's holy anger. And during the Passion, the crowds are so angry with this message that Jesus has brought. They feel so threatened that their anger erupts in a violent mob, right? They start shouting, crucify him in the street. And their anger leads to an execution in a violent crucifixion. Anger can be bad, right? It can take us to places that we might not otherwise go. But Jesus shows us a different kind of anger. Now, oftentimes we get these beautiful pictures and images of Jesus, right? Sitting with children in these calm and tranquil settings. I often like to think of Jesus as the three C's: calm, cool, and collected. Or peaceful, right? This is the Jesus that I like, mostly because I don't like conflict. It makes me anxious. I don't like to confront the injustices in society because I don't want to put myself out there. But Jesus does. Jesus calls us to do this, to be filled sometimes with righteous anger, that can help us to transform and shape the world. When we come to our text for today, we're gonna be reading in Mark's Gospel. And like we said last week when we talked about the baptism of our Lord, we also read from Mark's Gospel. Mark doesn't start with the nativity. Mark jumps right in to the baptism and goes straight and expeditiously into the mission of Jesus. And so we get this kind of rapid fire narrative, right? Jesus starts preaching. He calls his disciples. He heals. And immediately before the text that we read today, Mark tells us that Jesus is about to set out on a preaching tour of Galilee. He says, let's go into the neighboring towns so that I can proclaim this message. And so he goes off in a hurry to share this new message that God has sent him to preach. And then he encounters the leper. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be in chapter 1, and we're going to be reading verses 40 through 45. It is in the tradition of our church that we stand during a gospel reading, so I invite you to stand at home in body or spirit today as we read the gospel. Hear now these words coming from Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. It says, a leper came to him, begging him and kneeling. He said to him, if you choose, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I do choose. Be made clean. Immediately the man with leprosy left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, see, you are nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into the town openly, but stayed out in the country, and the people came to him from every quarter. This is the word of God for the people of God. Our text starts with a leper coming to meet Jesus. And it says he begs him and he kneels before his feet and he asks to be healed. And in the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, which is the reading that we have today, that was just put up on your screens, this translation says, moved with pity, Jesus stretches out his arm and heals him. Now, a lot of manuscripts in the original Greek use this word. I think Jake's going to put it up for us. I can't say it. I did not take Greek, so you can read it for yourself and try to pronounce it at home. But this is the Greek word that's used there when it says moved with pity. Or some translators say moved or filled with compassion. And a lot of ancient manuscripts use this Greek word. But if you know anything about biblical history and manuscripts, there are other translations that circulate too, right? Or other versions of the same text. And there are other manuscripts that instead of saying this word, they say this one. And this particular Greek word can be translated as indignant or angry. So if we go back to our text, instead of it saying, the leper came to him begging and kneeling, saying, if you choose, make me clean. Instead of it saying, moved with pity, it says, angrily, Jesus stretched out his hands. Or Jesus was indignant and stretched out his hand. And so I wonder, in these early manuscripts, why did they call Jesus angry? I think it's much easier and more comfortable for us in the modern church to see Jesus as someone who was filled with compassion. See Jesus as someone who says, yes, all you who are weary and hurting, Just come to me and I will heal you. It's kind of counterintuitive. It pushes against our image of Jesus to see him as someone who's filled with anger. But that's what these ancient manuscripts tell us. They give us this word, saying Jesus was angry. And I wonder why. Why is Jesus angry? Some biblical commentators say he was angry and annoyed that his mission was being disrupted, right? Now we know in Mark's gospel that Jesus was in a hurry to get this message out. And so they say that's one thing. Maybe he was angry with the leper for disrupting his time, and so just he went ahead and healed him just to get him out of the way. Other commentators say, well, he was angry because he was interrupted. And he gives this message to the man at the end. He says, I want you to go and show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing for what Moses commanded. But instead, the guy doesn't listen. And he goes out and he just starts telling everyone. And it disrupts Jesus' mission, right? Because he has all these crowds coming to him. So he can't go into the cities. He has to go out into the rural areas. But I tend to believe the commentators who say that Jesus was angry because of the cause of the man's need. He didn't have a place to be healed. They didn't have an understanding of leprosy. Instead, they expelled people like this from all forms of life, from religious life to family life, and even all of society. The leper was someone who was an outcast, an outsider. He was the oppressed of society. And Jesus gets mad. And so in Jesus' anger, he does the compassionate act. He heals. And I think this begs for us the question of when is it okay to get angry and how are we to respond? I think it's okay to get angry when things pop up in our lives that prevent us from fulfilling the mission that God has called us to. It's okay to get angry when we see others hurting in the world. It's okay to get angry when injustice happens around us. But it's not okay to just sit in that anger. Jesus quickly moves from a place of anger to a place of healing, to a place of action. Jesus sees the injustice in front of him, literally begging at his feet, and he doesn't dismiss him. He doesn't walk away. He heals. There are numerous places in the Gospels that show an angry Jesus. Jesus gets angry with the religious leaders. He gets angry at their hypocrisy. Jesus gets angry in the temple, right? In the beginning of John's Gospel, but it's in the Passion Week in the other Gospels when he enters into the temple and he sees that the faithful and the poor are being taken advantage of. And so he overthrows the temple tables, right? Jesus is mad when people are exploited. Jesus also gets angry with his friends. He gets annoyed with them over and over and over again in the Gospels. And often it's when they lack faith or when their interpretation of Scripture is self-serving rather than God-serving. These are all instances where it's okay for us to get angry. But we have to respond appropriately. And in this text, Jesus shows us that we are called to respond with healing. When I was in seminary, one of my professors told this story. This is the PG-13 story that I warned you about. So if you have kids, you can send them away if you want. But my preaching professor told this story about this pastor named Tony Campolo, and he's an evangelist. He's a Baptist preacher. And one of the ways that when he speaks to crowds, that he often starts, he says this. He says, I have three things that I'd like to say today. First, while you were sleeping, 30,000 kids died of starvation and disease. Second, most of you don't give a shit. And third, what's worse is you're more upset about the fact that I just said shit than that 30,000 kids died last night. So often, we get angry at things that don't really matter. We get angry when our traditions are disrupted, when something annoying in life comes about, rather than injustice and oppression living and thriving in the world. That's what should make us angry. Jesus does this exact same thing later in Mark's gospel in chapter 3. It says, another time Jesus went into the synagogue and there was a man with a shriveled hand, right? We've heard this story. And some were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he could heal on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. And Jesus says, which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do what is good or evil, or to save life or to kill? But they remain silent. And so it says, Jesus looked at them with anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said, stretch out your hand. And his hand was restored. Now, if you read this text, Jesus heals on the Sabbath, right? The man doesn't come to him pleading. Jesus doesn't have to heal him. He could easily just turn and walk the other way. Jesus also could have just waited a few hours, right? He could have followed the rule to not do work on the Sabbath. But instead, Jesus decides to take action. He decides to make them angry, to break the rule, to do the right, just, compassionate, loving thing. Jesus kind of gives them the proverbial middle finger, right? He says, screw you guys. I'm going to heal on the Sabbath. I'm going to do what's right. He says he's angry with their stubbornness, and he heals the man with the withered hand. We are called to be angry sometimes, but to use that anger for compassion and justice. This sermon series that we're doing, I'm basing it off a book called The Passionate Jesus by Peter Wallace. And one of the things that Peter Wallace says in this book is he says, anger can be destructive or constructive. It can be harmful or holy. Sometimes it's hard to discern when your anger is harmful and when it's holy. And so he goes on and he says, we must prayerfully and honestly compare our own experience of anger with the anger of Jesus. If we sense a persistent anger in our hearts about our lives, about the work we do or the people we live with or surrounded by, if we find ourselves frequently in contentious discussions with others or fighting for our own rights, we're probably missing the mark. Rather, our anger should move us to transformation. So as you think about the places in your life that make you angry, does that anger move you to a place where you would execute Jesus? Or does it light the flame of justice to go out and transform the world? Let's pray. God, I give you thanks today for your word and for your spirit, a spirit that moves in us and enlivens us and shows us how to live. God, allow us to embody the fullness of who Jesus is. Let us lean into your scripture so that we might act and feel and respond the way that Jesus did. We pray this in the name of your Son. Amen.